Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
All right, let me talk to you before we read the main text in Genesis 11. Let me talk to you about Genesis 10. I have wrestled with this scripture here in Genesis 10 about the Table of Nations. Now, in introduction, we've been doing a series on the first 11 chapters. This is the penultimate message of the completion of this series. So one more message after this. We'll wrap it up and move into a series of messages that the Lord specifically, different things, not in a series, but a series of messages that the Lord wants me to share before we move into the fall. And I'll start a new series on vision. And you don't want to miss that. We'll be doing that on Sunday mornings. Wednesday night, we're doing a series on the Holy Spirit called He Sent Him. He Sent Him. The Holy Spirit's not it, not dove, it's a person. And so we've been preaching along those lines on Wednesdays. And then Sunday night's family night. And you never can tell what's going to happen on Sunday night. Some of my favorite services. The Table of Nations. If you'd go ahead and put my slide up, please, for the Table of Nations. Thank you so much to our media team. You'll see here that we spoke on these three, Jephthah, Ham, and Shem, and this is where all people come from. All people come from these three. I can't remember exactly who said it. I've heard it a couple different times, but somebody said, you know, I went and I got a genetic test, and I can be traced all the way back to Noah. Me too. Everyone can. We all come from either Jephthah, Ham, or Shem, and you can see the movement of the people, and Japheth is basically the Gentiles, European Gentiles. Ham, you can see, and then Shem are the Shemites that come the Jews. And so I'm thinking, Lord, what do you want to pull out of this, Lord, for your people? Well, He wants to pull out of it for us today. That, I just told you. So we're moving on now to Genesis. But wait, I will reference Genesis 10 in the preaching of the message. Now you can stand up on your feet. Turn to Genesis chapter 11. A message I've preached at least five times here over the 17 years that I've been here. Let's go. Now the whole world had one language, verse 1, and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found the plain of Shinar and settled there. What did they do? They settled. Then they said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used a brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens. To the what? The heavens. So that we may make a name for ourselves, and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. And the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth. And that was the arrows that you saw on our slide. They're scattered. And they stopped building the city. And that is why it was called Babel. Because the Lord confused their language of the whole earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your principles of increase and for the blessing of God upon us and for these principles that we've been learning over these many weeks. Foundational principles for life. God, I pray awaken your people this morning in the moments that remain as I preach to each and every one. May we never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. A unique archaeological find in the 19th century, a group of German archaeologists found this base of a temple. And you can go and search and look it out. It's 50 feet high, the base of it. I think it was 300 feet across on just one side. They say that it probably had seven layers to it. It is what we know as the Tower of Babel. And kind of like a cake. It was a ziggurat. And God didn't come and knock down the tower, as some people thought from the flannel graph of days gone by. He came and he confused their language. That tower, actually, if you look in history, there has been attempts to rebuild it over the years. In fact, I believe it's Saddam Hussein made an attempt to, was talked about rebuilding it. And it is, it's a fascinating thing. So they build this, there's a number of things here. It's really the first unified rebellion against God. Unified rebellion. There have, of course, have been other rebellions against God, but this is a unified one. Under a man by the name of Nimrod, which we'll talk about, and understanding where he comes from give us clues to why God was concerned. And so what God did and why he came down, it's a sarcastic statement. It's a sarcastic statement. So they make this tower, and it's massive, and it's awesome. Let us build a tower that reaches to the heavens. And the Lord's like, hallelujah. What are they doing? It's a picture that it's this massive thing that man makes. And God comes down to take a look. It's sarcastic. And it's funny. God has a sense of humor. He came down. And he confused their language. He had to go to the extreme of confusing their language. And it's interesting, the solutions that God brings to problems. I'd have knocked the tower down. I'd have been like, no. No, he doesn't do that. He confuses their language. He leaves the tower. He confuses their language. So they couldn't do it. They couldn't work together. Can you imagine? Come on, some of you in your marriages have confused language. You need some help. Can you imagine speaking another language? Well, obviously you can. Many of you go to another country. I remember traveling through Europe, and I only speak three. I speak three languages. I speak English, pidgin, and tongues. It's my prayer language. But in traveling, I remember traveling for months, and I just wanted to hear anybody say anything that I could understand. I got to France, and it was just their food was great, but they were not very nice. And they just, even if they could speak English, it seemed that they didn't want to. I know that's not all French, but generally French are French. And Americans are rude. Let's move on. And arrogant. Except for here, of course. Okay. To understand why God confused our language is tied, understanding why God did what he did is tied to Nimrod. Go back to Genesis. Go to Genesis 10. Go back now to this table of nations. There's extra written about this man in Genesis 10 and verse 8. It's a genealogy, and it gets to Genesis 10 and verse 8. Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. So it says a little bit about him. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. So this is a part of the table of nations. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Wow. He's the one that built this tower along with the help of people. He Babylon was his, he's the founder of Babylon. He's the maker of Assyria. Nineveh was a city that he built. He was a builder. And it's fascinating in Genesis 9, they're supposed to scatter, scatter is really the wrong word. They're supposed to go populate the earth. All the nations of the people, all the people are supposed to go out and populate the earth. But you'll see it says, let's not do that. Let's just stay here. Let's settle right here. And they settled at the plains of Shinar. It's a picture of disobeying, populating the earth. He said, you know something? I got a better plan. I don't want to travel anymore. I don't want to spread around anymore. Let's just settle down and make a city right here. Let's just do this thing right here. And they begin to rebel. So when it says they settled, it's a picture of rebellion. And so they were spread out all over the world is what they were supposed to do, but instead they settled in Shinar. Nimrod was a builder. He was a builder, but he was a mighty hunter. Some theologians say that he wasn't just a hunter, like you would go and hunt moose in the fall, and all the hunters said, hallelujah. Amen. You go and hunt salmon next week. Thank you, Jesus. No, many scholars say he was a hunter of men. He was a warrior, which is a wicked thing. And what we believe is that Nimrod is tied to Natura, that years later he was made basically into a god. It's typical where a great leader in one generation would go on to be worshipped in the next. It's typical where a great leader in one generation would go on to be worshipped in the next, and actually in ancient cultures then become a god. So what many people believe, what I believe as well, is that Natura, the god of war and hunting, is basically originated with this Nimrod. The cuneiform inscriptions declare clearly that Nimrod built the tower. So we know that from archaeological digs, so that Nimrod built this tower. The city and the tower were an attempt to raise, listen closely, an attempt to raise a universal ruler of men. Nimrod was uniting mankind under his rulership. Now, does that sound familiar? Because it should. It's a prefiguring of the Antichrist. Ecclesiastes says that which has been will be again. When you see these patterns in Scripture, there's been many antichrists in Scripture, but I will say, bringing it current to today, the world is set for the appearance of an antichrist from comic strips and movies and all the different things that are taking place. The world is looking for some superhuman type person to rise and unify and fix everything. Yeah, he will come, but he's the antichrist. In fact, Nimrod's very name means to rebel by one definition. There's so many analogies to Nimrod being an antichrist type figure. So the tower and this attempt to raise a human universal world ruler, that's why God came down. He had to deal with it. He had to fix it. And he confused our language, which is the judgment that he brought. Literally, Nimrod was declaring himself to be immortal. And the tower, it appears from the verses of Scripture. Did you bring a steak knife today? Okay, look at verse 4. It's this idiomatic phrase that you find in Deuteronomy. You find in numerous places. Verse 4 says, and they said, listen closely, come let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. That word heavens is not just like, oh, it would be really high. Let us build a tower that literally goes into the heavenlies, that literally is in a place that is supernatural. And what we believe, and when we go there to heaven, will be known even as we are fully known. But what we believe is that it's another attempt. It's another attempt. Now we saw how Adam and Eve in the garden, Satan attempted to get them to move outside the bounds of God. He said, when you eat from the tree, the Lord knows that you'll be like him when you do it. There's this always this attempt to be like God or to interfere. And there's this attempt on behalf of Satan to pollute the Adamic seed. The seed of the woman would crush the head of Satan. It's called the proto-evangelium. It's the very first time, evangelium in the Greek, it's euangelium. It's the first time the gospel's preached. Listen, my hope this morning is that I bring you deep enough to the hope that you would go deeper, but not so deep that we all drowned, but give you some meat that'll touch and transform your life and awaken to your understanding that which has been will be again. The world is being set up. They were trying to become God in all of these instances, and the pollution of the Adamic seed, and the sons of God saw the daughters of men there as we studied that. And they took them to be their wives of this God-awful mixture of sons of God being defined not as the sons of Abel, but literally sons of God as in angels. And if you don't believe me, just go back. I don't have time to develop it. Go back, go to YouTube, go look at the series, type it up, look at it, listen to it. I proved it as best I could during those messages. No time now. But we came to the conclusion that the sons of God being angels, daughters of men, or human beings, women, and that they mated with human women, and it talks about it in Jude. God came and dealt with it and brought a flood. And the angels that did that, thank God, they're kept in a place called Tartarus in Jude, 1 Peter. It's not in front of me right now, I'm sorry. Kept in a special place of hell until the judgment. And some will say, well, they've been released again. It is kind of creepy, actually, if you look in Revelation and how there's these angels, these fallen angels, demon spirits kept under the Euphrates. And the Euphrates is going to dry up. And that there's this release of these demon spirits, they say, that were the ones that mated with. It's crazy. And yet the people that live around the Euphrates are saying they're hearing sounds. Ooh, they're hearing the sounds from one of the Euphrates. You say, is that real? I have no idea. I'm just glad God's on the throne. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Don't get freaked out. I've got good news. God's on the throne. The devil's been defeated. His plan will come about. You could go down a rabbit hole and twist yourself into a bunch of fear. But there's always, don't do it. Everybody say, don't do it. We are not the kind that yield to fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. We've been brought here to bring the glorious gospel to the nations. We've been sent here to preach, pray, prophesy, to bring the kingdom, to bring freedom. Come on, God's more than able to protect you. Just don't be deceived. Even the elect will be deceived. Say, not me. Well, make sure. Listen up. Bump your neighbor and say, listen up. They made an attempt at destroying or perverting the Adamic seed. So God wiped him out and started over the flood. Noah. Now there's Noah. Now it appears, come let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top reaches into the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we obey God and go across. I threw that in. Lest we be scattered. Let us make a nail. We don't want to go all, hey God, we don't want to go around the earth. In fact, we fire you as God, and we're going to actually decide now who's a male and a female. We're going to see, the sin of Babel really is the sin of self-sufficiency, that you can fulfill the plan of God without God, that you can do what you want to do because you want to do it. I'm preaching better than your amen in this morning. My goodness, the top of the heavens. So it appears that this Nimrod wanted to make a union even with the heavenlies. And if you look at ziggurats throughout ancient cultures, even now, South America, Central America, even in the culture of Japan, the emperor. Now, I don't know if they still do this. I didn't read up on it. But they would bring the emperor, the new emperor, out to a rice paddy, and they would put him in a specially designed pavilion, thank you, tabernacle, and he would spend the night with none other than the sun god. And they literally believed that the emperor would mate with the sun god, and he would become like a deity. So this thread of perversion and uniting with darkness is throughout history, throughout the Bible, and it seems that that's what he was attempting to do. Man is overstepping his limits. I don't know if you know about CRISPR technology, but I'm going to tell you that it is clear to me that man is overstepping his limits. Their manipulation of DNA, saying that you can change your sex. Let me just tell you, you can't, no matter how many hormones you take, doesn't matter how many operations you have, you will always be whatever you were born to be. It's in your DNA. You can't change that. Now, I'm not down on people that are in the place of desiring to do that. Let me say that we love you. And let me say that we'll help you. But if you see the flip side of that, which they are not reporting in the media, they're not reporting people that are constantly in pain in the most sensitive parts of their body for 10 years and longer. They're constantly reporting the torment that even though they went through the change and went through the procedure, they're tormented at night, they're tormented all day, they don't know what to do, and you can't reverse things once you remove them. And even if you try, it's just not the same. And there are people that are coming out and that's suppressed. There's so much perversion. There's so much confusion. The abandoning of God's will for their own. It's the same thing that's happening today. Okay, what's God saying to us as I attempt to land this plane? It's interesting to me that in Hebrew, the name Babel means confusion. But in Akkadian, in Babylonian, you know what it means? It means the gate of God. And from that, that's where we get the idea that they would have said, they would build this tower into the heavens. And it's from that, it would be a portal. It would be a gateway. That's why it's called the gate of God is what they call it. But it's interesting that the Hebrews are very funny in writing this. It's not the gate of God. It's Babel. It's actually confused. You ain't making no gate, you idiot. So it's not the gate of God. You're confused. It did a play on words and said, no, it's not the gate of God, it's confusion, because there is only one way. Literally, this gateway, this Babylon, was to be a portal into the supernatural realm, an entry point for the demonic world to merge very possibly with human beings. Now, I need to say this. Some of this is conjecture, okay? So I understand. I'm reading into it a little bit as I see it, as I've read, and as have been instructed to me over the years, and I'm attempting by the grace of God to bring you what I see as truth. So some of it is conjecture, you understand. But it's clear that Nimrod was a world ruler that rebelled, led the first human rebellion against God. The rest of these things, the gateway of heaven, it definitely means that. Some of these things we're not 100% on. We do know clearly there will come a one world ruler. Again, that which has been will be again. Can I get an amen? There's no way to heaven. You can't make a portal. You can't get a little crystal throne and sit on it and have heaven come down. And if you did, it wouldn't be heaven, it would be hell. John 10 and verse 1 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold, enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up by some other way, is a thief, same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Jesus is the great shepherd. Jesus is the sheepfold door. He's the one that by his death, by his resurrection, you can have communion with heaven. You'll never be God, but you can be brought in right relationship with God. And his plan is for you not to be self-sufficient. Oh, I just want to be self-sufficient. No. It's interdependence is what you want. You want God helping you. Come on, raise your hand to heaven and say, oh, God, help me. A couple things here. The power of agreement. One language, one place, they were able to do. Verse 6, if as one people speaking the same language, they began to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. And he confuses their language. There's two words in Hebrew here, and you'll find them in Job 42:2. Says, I know that you can do everything, that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Listen, the whole point is that agreement can usher you into a realm of power. Listen very closely to what I'm about to say to you. Agreement can usher you into a realm of power. Now, that's a vague statement because I mean it on both ways. Agreement can usher you into the realm of power of God, and it can usher you into the power of hell. You can come into agreement with darkness, and you will see the power of darkness released in your life. And though the angel comes, even like an angel of light, Satan comes to deceive even the elect, there is false signs, there is false wonders, there is false miracles. Just because somebody did a miracle doesn't believe they come from the throne, doesn't believe that they're anointed of God. 1 John says, man, I'm preaching better than your amen. And every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. So there's false lying signs and wonders, and then there's real signs and wonders. He's a counterfeiter. He counterfeits the devil. When he's lying, he's speaking his native tongue. He does everything he can to. Don't you follow someone because there's signs and wonders. You follow someone as they follow Christ because they name the name of Jesus, because they walk in humility and brokenness and prayer, because they live a holy and righteous and pure. Yes, we believe signs, wonders, and miracles. We see them all the time. We see stage 4 cancers healed. We see all of that, and we give glory to the one and only. His name is What's his name? His name is Jesus. But there are false signs and wonders. Oh, I'm going to that healer. Really? Yeah, he calls on Baba Ganoush and then we get healed. I would highly suggest you don't go to the demonic healer. Agreement. Everybody say agreement. You can be ushered into the power of God and see miracles. Listen, this building's here. You know why? Had enough people, had enough. And we had people leave. It's too big. I'm going to another church. I understand. That's okay. And we bless you. But we had enough people to be able to stay and agree. And that's why this is built. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what could happen in your family if you got an agreement? You stubborn thing, you. Can you imagine if you got in agreement with God's word? Can you imagine if you got in agreement? If the church got in agreement, we could end all the sex slavery. If the church would get off its duff, which I'm not quite sure what that is, the church would get set on fire and begin to evangelize and permeate the culture and take the, come on, I've set my king in Zion, Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage? He wants to set people in high places. I'm so glad you're here. Let's take over the entertainment industry. You can't do that. Says who? You and your limited view. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And if we get into agreement, we can drive out perversion. We can change this nation. We can change the nations of the world. We can see the power of God put on display. Oh yeah, Jesus, certain things that are going to happen no matter what. He's going to return. There's going to be an Antichrist. But in the midst of that, there's going to come, and I came so close to preaching on this, what's called the fullness of the Gentiles. The fullness of the Gentiles is this scripture in Romans 11 talks about Israel's judicial or temporary blindness, and the fullness of the Gentiles must come. You know what fullness means? The time of the Gentiles. You know what that means? That means that there's a time when it ends, and the nations of the Gentiles, not the Shemites, not the Jews, but the Gentile nations come to Christ. And when that is complete, that ends. And when that ends, many believe that there is then the great tribulation, and 144,000 Jewish evangelists go throughout the world and evangelize the world. We are living in those days. We're living in those days. Never before in my 57 years, which isn't all that long, I feel like I'm 25, but I mean, I've never seen such perversion. And no matter what age you are, you would agree. We must come in agreement with God's word. The principle of agreement. The church needs to stand in agreement. In Titus 3:10, let me just tell you, we have agreement here. If you try to bring division, you'll be dealt with biblically. With the love of God, Titus 3:10. If there's a divisive man or woman, mankind among you, warn them once, twice. That's not three strikes. Three strikes is baseball. It's two strikes. Warn them once, twice, that's it. Are you saying we do that here? Every day. Honestly, we don't have those kind of problems because when that test came, we dealt with it. If it comes again, we'll deal with it with the love of God. Don't try to cause division. Don't try to cause strife. You'll end up getting corrected. By you, Pastor, if need be, it usually gets taken care of way before it gets to my desk. Gets to my desk, you're being asked to go somewhere else. But we want to love people, but you cannot allow for division. In your family, don't allow for division. Come on, in your business, don't allow for division. My wife and I have somehow got a revelation of this by the grace of God. We don't have division. We don't always agree. But we work it out, and we don't make major decisions unless we have agreement. And every time we've made a decision without agreement, it never works. No, I'm hearing from God. God's, I'm the man of my house. Yeah, you're an idiot too. You're the man of your house. You come on, God's given you a spouse. You need to come into agreement. All the ladies give me an amen or an oh me or an oh my or something. If you just drive ahead and consider your spouse to be a doormat, you're a fool. I'm so thankful for all the times that Pastor Karen has saved me, saved us, intervened, said, better not do that. We need to be in agreement. Philippians 2:2, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort in his love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord. There's that one accord, homothomodon. Homo is an homogenous one. Thomodon, heat, a violent unity. That's what the church should have. I believe we have that, and we'll continue to maintain it by the grace of God. That's what you need in your marriage. That's what you need with your kids. That's what you need with your business. And if people have that for evil, then there's a display of evil. And that's what's happening in America, unified by media and an insanity that's completely stepped away from the Word of God. Worship team, please. The sin of Babel is the sin of self-sufficiency. And it threatens us all, really. There's a tendency for all of us to take things in on our own hands and become self-sufficient, doing life without God. There's a tendency for all of us to do that. It's the flesh. You need God. Prayer is so crucial. See, prayer is saying, Lord, I'm dependent on you. And as I pray and agree with your word, then you move in power. You pray continually, have continual releases of God's power. Prayer is saying daily, and it should be daily. And we have a 7-day-a-week prayer meeting. Not once on a Friday night, we gather for an hour. No, we don't. We meet every day, 7 days a week for an hour, right here from six, like I'm hoping for 24 hours a day, but, and we got plans. We got plans for that. Meanwhile, we will never let go of that hour, and we're going to add two and add three. We will keep going. Prayer. Prayer is saying, Lord, I can't do it, but with you, I can do all things. So crucial. The end of time is near. The end of time is near. Satan's strategy is the Antichrist. I've preached on it before, but time escapes me now to develop it fully, but that is what's happening. Just as God confused the language and foiled the plans of the enemy, God has done something so amazing. It's his plan of redemption and salvation to all who believe on him. To as many as believed in him, he gave them the right to become children of God. He'll give you supernatural help by the sheepfold, not by your own efforts, not by some alien being, by the power of the Holy Spirit. God has an amazing plan. You've got to be filled with the Spirit. Come on, someone say, God, fill me with your Spirit. Lift your hands to heaven. God, fill us with your Spirit.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.